It is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British and American people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice.
Bear ourselves, that if the British Empire and its commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their fight.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Skype of Cthulhu presents Acton Cthulhu, the Trailboard Monstrosities by John Hulley.
But that's enough of a wait. Hopefully he'll show up at some point. If he doesn't, no big deal. I'm sure Professor Everett will be happy to abuse him.
It's more like Agent Chance to be late, though.
That's true, that's true.
He forgot his parachute, you know, figure something out.
Okay, so we will go ahead and start. Okay. So this is the Trailboard Monstrosities. It is the last of the currently published Acton Cthulhu scenarios. It is not part of the zero-point campaign. You know, it is in that same universe, or it's not, or, you know, who, officially, who knows? We'll just say it is, since obviously we have Agent Chance and Professor Everett coming along with us. So, it is late winter in 1943. Just to give kind of an overview of where things are going in the war, the Germans have just had their first real serious loss, that being the loss at Stalingrad, and the U.S. Has just recently driven the Japanese off Guadalcanal, and it looks like the Americans are finally going to join the war in Europe, although obviously they haven't quite done so yet, but the British are certainly expecting it to happen soon. Professor Everett, since the events of in France a couple of years ago, you have not been doing anything, you know, in particular as far as you know, Section M and the War Office is going. You've kind of just returned to your normal civilian life, or what counts for a normal civilian life in England these days. And hopefully Professor Everett is with us. Not yet. Still on mute? Maybe? Nope. Okay, never mind.
Professor Everett's not there?
He'll be back in a second. There he is.
Hey, sorry about that.
There he is. Okay.
I thought we were waiting for Randall for a long time, so
nope.
I took a phone call, but I'm off that now. Thanks.
No worries. Okay. That's okay. I'll just start over. Don't worry.
Well, I heard parts of it about 1943
okay.
And what we're doing.
Okay, that's good.
Because she, you know, it wasn't a super important conversation, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so since the events of Heroes from the Sea, you basically returned to whatever it is that you normally do in England. You know, you've been, you know, debriefed after the events of after the events in France and so forth, and have just been, you know, going about living your life until sometime, let's say, probably early February 1943, you receive the call. Professor Everett, you are needed.
Well, of course. Of course, of course.
You are summoned in, and you don't really, they don't really, they just, they tell you, you know, there will be more to tell you later, and you are sent for training.
Okay.
Miss Rogers.
Yes.
Basically, the same thing happens to you. You are summoned by the British government, said you are told you are needed for the war effort, not particularly told why, and you are sent for training.
Excellent. My big break.
Where you meet Professor Everett. You're both in the same training course.
Is Professor Everett particularly well known? Would I have heard his name before?
I don't know. Are you Professor Everett? I mean, in your civilian occupation.
Well, I would say he's, I mean, if it's based on
what is his civilian occupation?
I imagine he's some type of engineer, scientist combo.
Oh, okay.
Based on his skills, I mean, he's got like a lot of. I mean, he's got like jury rigging, which is fairly good.
Okay. Well, so probably we would not cross paths. I'm more of the language, literature sort of student. So.
Yeah. Probably.
Yep.
Okay. So.
Okay, so you were both sent on an intensive, very intensive, 1 week polar survival course.
Uh-oh.
Shall we do a training montage?
A training montage begins, yes. And you may both add the following three skills to your character sheet.
Woo!
Polar survival.
Okay, I already have that one.
Yes, you probably already have these, Miss Rogers.
Okay.
Professor Everett, you can add these three skills.
Mm-hmm.
And Agent Chance can as well.
Yes, he's right next to me. I'm ordering them around as usual.
Yes. That polar survival is at 30%.
Okay. Next one.
Nordic skiing.
Also at 30?
No. For this one, you can roll a D10.
Woohoo. I got a 9.
Multiply that by 4.
Oh, okay.
And the last one is pilot canoe.
Yeah, baby.
And you can roll another D10 for that.
7.
Times 3.
Okay. I can do anything now.
That's all you needed, yes.
That's all I ever needed in my life.
After that week of training... the three of you, by the three of you, I mean, of course, Agent Chance as well, are taken to a British naval port somewhere in England. Where is berthed the... What is she called? What is she called? The HMS URED. URED. Which is a submarine. And Professor Everett probably has quick visions of someone climbing onto it with a stick of dynamite. Might be a little nervous about the...
Didn't want to say anything, give you any ideas, but perhaps I'm a bit nervous there.
Blimey, you expect me to get in a submarine with a bunch of you blokes? How long are we going to be stuck in there?
Miss Rogers is given a special one of the officers' berths, so she has a private. So she'll have a private cabin for the duration.
Ah, as it should be. Thank you.
When you arrive, you are met by three SBS soldiers. SBS being, of course, the Special Boat Section, basically the. Navy Special Operations Group, one of whom introduces himself as Corporal Barker.
Yeah, Corporal Paul Barker. You're the professor?
Yes, yes. How do you do? How do you do? I extend my hand.
I'm good. I guess I'm supposed to fill you guys in on what's going on.
Not really. You don't really know either.
Okay.
Yes, you and two other SBS soldiers were summoned away very rapidly from whatever covert mission you were on or working on or planning. You know, it was basically yesterday you were there, today you're here. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have 4 canoes. Of course, it's 2 people to it'll be 2 people to a canoe. Mm-hmm. And you are all given. Just a second. Where'd it go? Come on.
Are you pulling a map up?
No.
For Dropbox?
No, there'll be a map in a bit. There it is. Here it is. You are all issued, as you're coming aboard the submarine, you are all issued with some equipment. Of course, there are the 4 Mark II canoes, which Corporal Barker is intimately familiar with. These are small canoes that break down small enough to fit through the hatch on the submarine. You have 8 paddles, 2 for each canoe. You are given some winter survival camouflage clothing. You know, winter camouflage, it's all white, thick, warm, that sort of thing. 4 grenades each.
Each?
Each.
Wow.
Got to blow up a lot of ice.
A knife, some rations, a portable stove, water bottle. You're each given a torch, and there is a map. I will send that along shortly. Binoculars, compass, first aid kits, and that's it.
Okay.
And Jim, the 4 grenades each. Those are the ones already included on our character sheet for the pregens.
Yes.
Okay.
Or at least on your character sheet.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Professor Emmett has to write it all down, yes.
I don't know. Keeves is kind of a hoarder.
Blimey, no, that's Chance. Right, Chance? That's right, Chance. Just nod. There's a quiet Chance next to me, by the way.
Very quiet.
Yeah, he looks like the quiet type.
Yes, he'll be more talkative later once he gets his second wind.
So after you're all given your gear and you're kind of settled in, showing the bunks, an officer comes and asks you to a briefing, which is to be held right away at an office on the near the berth.
Mm-hmm.
As you enter, there are 2 men inside. One of them is wearing the uniform of a British admiral, and the other is dressed in civilian clothing. The admiral welcomes you all, invites you to please sit down, says, gentlemen, lady, Agent Chance, Professor Everett, Corporal, thank you for coming. We have a possible situation we need you to go investigate. We will be sending you to Norway. This mission is of vital importance, and each of you, he looks somewhat askance at Professor Everett at this, has been selected in particular because of your particular skills, expertise, and...
Hey, did
experience.
He look at me with doubt in his face or with pride?
Make a psychology roll.
I have to know. I can think whatever I want, apparently.
You can think whatever you want, yes. He looked at you pointedly.
It's pride. It's pride, no doubt. Everett's ego can't handle anything else.
Yes. Agent Chance, you are to be the officer in charge.
I roll my eyes.
However, however, and he indicates the civilian standing next to him, is Mr. Seraph. Mr. Seraph is your expert advisor. I sincerely advise you to listen to what he has to say. And he says that in a very pointed and serious manner. And I further advise you to, even though Agent Chance, you are in charge, request or command that Mr. Seraph gives, I strongly advise you to follow his advice.
Real quick, is this somebody's character or is it an NPC?
It is an NPC.
Okay. I'll have to remind Randall of listen to the man. Okay.
Mr. Seraph will give you additional information along the way. You will be leaving immediately.
Excuse me, Admiral. I take it we'll get debriefed more while we're on the mission?
As and when Mr. Seraph deems it necessary, yes. You're here to support him.
Very well.
Any other pointless questions?
Yes, I have another question, Admiral.
Yes, Professor.
How dangerous is this mission?
No more or less dangerous than any other mission that you have been on.
So in that case, shouldn't there be something given to us in case something happens to Surratt here and he dies early? I just look at the Admiral.
The Admiral says, Mr. Seraph is fully capable of taking care of that himself, as he deems necessary.
Jim, did the Admiral mention where he said we're going to Norway, right?
He did.
Okay. Did he say where in Norway?
Nope.
Out of character, I can't remember. Is Norway occupied by the Germans at this point?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Couldn't remember. All right.
Yep.
And it's relatively friendly, depending on who you ask.
But still, German.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not afraid of those krauts.
Yeah, and I'm thinking in my head, oh, another one of these half-baked missions I'm being sent on.
You've been so good at them before.
Stumbled and fumbled along.
Well, good luck. I have no doubt that you will do king and country proud. Gentlemen, lady, and he walks out.
That's a fine mess you've gotten me into, Chance. Nothing to say, hmm? Hmm?
Mr. Seraph kind of looks you over and says, "Perhaps not the group I would have hoped for. Professor Everett, Agent Chance, I am familiar with your past work, shall we
As
say?
As you should be, sir.
Please believe me, gentlemen, when I tell you that this will be worse."
Well, of course, Jim's running this game.
Davina's eyebrows go up, but she says nothing.
Now, have either Davina or Mr. Barker, myself, heard about this or anything of them before?
No.
Okay.
Could he roll institutional lore for perhaps knowing that?
Secret organizations, secret missions. I say, well, you know, it's nice you've heard of us, because we've done a lot for this country. I take it you're so undercover we haven't heard much of anything of you, but I'm presuming Admiral speaks quite highly of you, so, yes. Look at him if he wants to share anything.
Yes, as you have done your turn. I have done many, let us say.
Will you be telling us what this is about, or are you going to wait till we're canoeing along?
When it becomes necessary. For the moment, speed is of the essence. We must be off. And with that, he leaves. Clearly expecting the rest of you to be following along.
Oh, no, I'm going to go right alongside him, and I'm going to whisper to him. So the fact that you're not sharing this information tells me you fear about information being leaked, or that there's a spy in the group. And I look at Chance, hoping he's the spy.
Anything is possible, Professor.
Or you're just very paranoid, which keeps you going. I understand.
Well, We'll follow along behind him if he's intent on getting on going.
Okay. So, you all board the submarine. The hatches are closed. The boiler is lit. And she steams out into the North Sea. And just a moment. Is there anything in particular, I'm going to guess probably not, that anyone wants to be doing while you're underway?
Oh, yeah.
I'm writing a letter to Annette, Jim. We've been pen palling since 41. But that's okay, right?
Making sure I'm never alone in any section of the ship. Other than my cabin, obviously.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many of those letters will have been getting through, Professor Everett, but anything's possible.
But were there any replies?
Probably not.
Yes,
probably
that's what not. I thought. I just felt sorry for her, but, you know, she just wants to live in her pain. I understand that, too. And I have to hang out with Chance, so...
You have to live in your pain as well.
Yep.
Well, Peebs is going to go down and check out the engine room and all the mechanics of the ship.
And try to steal something, or...?
Maybe see if he could find a good wrench around. Scrounge something up.
Make a scrounge roll.
Eighteen. That's a success.
What do you know? There just happens to be some extra wrenches. And,
they don't sweet.
I'm gonna go down below in the engine room and look for some guy who doesn't fit in who might be carrying explosives on him, and if I don't find anyone like that, I feel better and go to sleep.
you find me.
I'll just read my copy of the Poetic Eddas for the sixth time.
Fair deal.
My bunking with Chance again?
Well, it's a submarine. There, you don't really have...
It's like huge communal bunks,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, then I'm across from Chance. I just torture him with stories.
sorry, just a second. Okay. So the maps you are given, this is one of them. My laptop has been taking to be painfully slow lately, so...
This will be in the Dropbox?
Actually, no, I'm going to send them through Skype.
Okay.
I'll get them in Dropbox eventually, but
yeah, I'm rolling on the phone right now off Wi-Fi, so I don't know if I could do the Dropbox. We'll see.
Yep, here we go. Oh,
piss. So there I was, Chance, surrounded by everything on all sides. Natives with poisonous spears, even the slightest nick kill you. What's that? Of course I was prepared, Chance. Unlike you. Straighten up, please. And I keep going on while Jim's looking for the map.
It's remarkable how badly a boat this small can stink this bad.
Yeah, I probably don't hear you because I'm too involved telling my story to a captured Chance. He can't get away because he's an NPC right now.
Are y'all in the mess hall?
I think this is... probably as we're all turning in.
So
you can hear my voice going down the hallway. I'm sure
yeah,
people...
so everyone gets to enjoy it.
Come on. It might be interesting to the others, but I probably told it to Chance like half a dozen times. So yeah,
it's just like his normal bedtime story. He knows that he can fall asleep when he's listening to Everett's voice.
And I promised him there's nobody with explosives at the bottom of the sub. So.
Don't worry, Chancy. Oh, you.
The monotone droning of Professor Everett's voice.
Yep, just put him to sleep.
Chance has a little drool coming out of the side of his mouth.
yes, and he's in command. Yes.
Professor Everett, I think you found a Sharpie next to Chance's bed, perhaps?
Yeah, when he rolls over, he impales himself on it.
I was thinking weirdly, indulging your art of 5% on Chance's face.
Okay, I'm going to have to get you guys the maps later. Fortunately, they're not important quite yet.
Chance wakes up with tentacles drawn on his mouth.
Shaved off his eyebrows, you know, fun.
That's what happens when you don't show up.
takes his shirt off. It's got, yeah, Cthulhu Fatagan.
He's a cultist, kill him.
Okay, so you were given maps, but you'll actually see them later.
Okay.
I'll get them to you later. Like, say, they're not so important at the moment.
We're going to somewhere in Norway, is what the maps would reveal, like, northern
yes.
part, probably?
Yes. Shortly after, as the coast is just about to drop out of sight, the submarine does submerge, and you are steaming the rest, and you are sailing a fair amount of the way submerged, not constantly, of course, because submarines couldn't quite do that then. And let's see. There it is. There are a couple times when the submarine does come to a dead stop, and, you know, quiet is called for, and, the sailors are kind of, you know, moving around nervous as they're, trying to avoid German ships and so forth. But eventually, the sub does surface, and you find yourself just off a fjord in the very northern reaches of Norway, which is identified for you as the Langenfjord.
Okay.
It is night. It is a very cold night. There is a moon visible, but it is fairly cloudy, so it is pretty dark out on the water. There's just barely enough light. You can just kind of see, you know, the opening to the fjord. And you are directed to...
Sorry.
Take the canoes and get moving.
I follow the fearless NPC.
So are they letting us out from the sub in the middle of the fjord onto the canoes?
They're letting you out just outside the opening to the fjord. The sub itself is not entering the fjord.
So I take it we need to start making some canoe rolls?
Yes, you will.
Oh, lovely. Hang on, let me go grab my D10s. They're in the other room.
No worries.
So I was going to say, Peebs will start like directing everyone and helping them set up the canoes and getting them out quick.
There are, of course, two people to canoe, and they look to Corporal Peebs as the... SBS expert to set everyone up.
I say, all right, Chance, Everett, you're together. You seem to be a good team.
Oh,
kind of
yes.
Laugh a little bit. And,
yes.
I'll say, Stuffy, you're with me. And you said we had two other general NPCs?
Yes.
Okay.
Two other SBS guys.
SBS guys. All right, so I'll take Mr. Seraph with me, call him Stuffy. And then one of the NPCs with Miss Rogers.
Okay. Agent Rogers.
Agent Rogers. And let me just change my name here. Agent Rogers. There you go. Excuse me, miss.
I whispered a chance. Oh, she seems on edge, just like that Annette you had a thing for. Chance for romance, Chance. I'll get it.
And I think that's everyone, right? But that only leaves one NPC and an empty canoe. So he can take it by himself?
Yes, he can.
Okay. There you go. And I'll get everyone out, and me and Stuffy will go last.
Okay. So the you slip into the canoes. The canoes push off from the sub. Not long after, you can hear the sub submerging behind you. As you're kind of drifting there in the Norwegian Sea on a cold night. on a dark night.
And I'll
in a
look
small
back.
Canoe. The way it's a little choppy, but not too bad. With your gear kind of piled in the middle, you know, separated between the canoes. And Agent Mr. Seraph leans back to you, Mr. Barker, and says, "We must into the fjord."
Okay. Okay, Stuffy. You just tell me where to go. And I'll say, kind of speed up the canoe a little bit and say, "All right, everyone, follow me. Don't get lost now."
Okay. I need one person from every canoe to make a canoe roll. All
right, Jim. The
28 NPC, out of 21.
The NPC in my canoe, what is his canoe score? Because mine's only a 32.
His canoe score is going to be... Just a second. His canoe score is going to be whatever Mr. Barker's canoe score is.
It is a 45, and I failed with an 85.
Shouldn't the second person in the canoe be able to make a backup roll?
Agent Chance, Professor Everett. That's going to be Professor Everett since Agent Chance isn't here, so you can...
28 out of 21.
And Miss Rogers, you can roll for your NPC if you want.
Why don't you roll for the NPC? No, I'll roll for myself.
Yeah, I'm not sure you are. I'm not sure that you're... Not sure that I'm the right person you really want to roll for that.
I'll roll for you. If you want me to roll, I'll roll.
But yeah, he fails as well.
Oh, okay. Can I make the backup roll to keep us from going ass over tea kettle in the fjord?
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's just the waves are apparently a bit choppier than you guys had expected to begin with. You know, a cross breeze is a cross current as you cross the mouth of the fjord, this kind of thing. But nobody botched it, so it's not that big a deal. As you enter the fjord, you know, you can just, in the darkness, you kind of get the feeling of the walls of the fjord rising distantly on either side of you. Make a spot hidden roll, everyone.
Green is 10.
Oh, wow. I missed it.
Fail.
Oh, I had like a 77 fail. Spot, too. 81 out of 77, Jim. What's my prize?
Did anyone make it?
Nope.
Okay.
You want me to roll for chance?
We missed the fjord serpent coming for us.
Nope. That's fine. Mr. Seraph says, "Keep going, Mr. Barker. We must go further in."
Say, "All right, Stuffy. Let's keep going. Just keep on rowing."
Okay.
Do you need any more canoe rolls to fail?
Yeah, let's make one more round of canoe rolls just to see if anyone completely botches it.
Ooh, man, you scared me for a sec. I thought I got a 99. No, 69. Still a fail, but...
20 out of 21.
Nice.
Professor Everett and Agent Chance are scooting right along.
Just pass you all up.
And Miss Rogers, you're okay as well, so no worries there.
Right.
Can I get a party luck roll, please?
Okay, who's got the lowest luck? My 65. Luck...
65.
65 as well?
Mine's 85, so not me.
Wow, 85, jeez. Go ahead and roll, if you're feeling lucky. By the way, is this for Langfjorden or Langensfjord?
Hold out. What is
Langenfjord.
Chance? What is Chance's luck? Does anyone know?
I think it's less, but he's not here. He's an NPC. Hooray! Yeah.
So he doesn't count.
I'll throw the dice.
So, right. Jim, is this Langfjorden or Langensfjord?
Green is tens.
Langensfjord, okay.
Yes.
I got 23 out of 65 on the luck.
Okay.
Pro.
Very nice. Okay. So you guys continue up the fjord. It is... very quiet. The only things you can hear are the wind and the waves and the soft splash of the paddles as you make your way down the fjord. It is dark. You are completely alone.
No, we're not. We have a chance.
After a time, and you're not really certain how long it's been, because it is so dark and so quiet, and you're just rowing and rowing and imagining that the fjord would probably be quite beautiful if it was daytime and you could actually see anything. Mr. Seraph indicates a small island to Mr. Barker, and the island, we will rest there.
Yes, all right. Well, maybe you can tell us some things about what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, we'll head on over there. I'll signal everyone else to come on, guys, this way.
Okay, let's get one more set of can you rolls.
Can you? I don't know if I can. Yep, fail again, 56. Missed it by that much.
Professor Everett?
Failed, but didn't botch.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'm still having some problems with the choppy water. Miss Rogers, you're okay as well.
Excellent.
And you come up onto the island. It's a fairly barren island, you know, just kind of windswept grass and a few trees. It's very clearly not a very big island. And,
okay.
Start setting up camp.
Mr. Seraph suggests that everyone can rest, have a bite to eat.
All right.
Before continuing on.
I'll sit down with Seraph and see if I can make any rolls to try and persuade him to give me some info of what we're doing out here. Or if he's still...
Do we need to make any tent setup rolls?
Well, we're just resting here. We're not sleeping here, are we?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Right.
A half hour. Perhaps an hour we can afford, but not more than this.
Yes. There'll be plenty of time for you to tell me what's going on here in case something happens to you.
We have a contact waiting for us.
I surreptitiously massage my sore arm muscles.
Yes, I figured we had a contact already, of course. That's pretty standard. Anything more you can tell us of what this is about, besides the fact that we're fighting the enemy or in enemy territory or meeting a contact or in... It's a grave danger?
It is the war, Professor Everett. Of course there is grave danger.
Yes, all right. So I take it the contact is going to give us more information, and you're just putting on a front because you don't know the entire mission. I understand now. Thank you.
He kind of rolls his eyes. Sighs.
I roll my eyes and sigh back. Because I'm not passive-aggressive at all.
Not in the slightest.
All right, I'll go harass Chance and...
Listen rolls, please.
Yes, 16 out of 45.
Oh.
Nope, missed it by 4.
Missed it by 5. 30 over 25.
Don't worry, the professor made it. Did you make yours, Chance? No, botched. Ah, yes, of course.
You hear... an engine.
Does Sirette hear it? Glance at Sirette. Does he seem to hear it?
He looks around, and yes, he very clearly hears it.
I whisper before him, I hear an engine off in the distance. Thank God one of us is hearing it.
Yes. No doubt a patrol boat.
Let's hide ourselves and our equipment as best as possible.
I think that would be an excellent idea, Professor.
Yeah, so glad you agree.
Hello, guys.
Hey, there's Agent Chance.
Chance, you have a personality now. My God, man, it's good to see you. Yes.
Don't tell me I confused the hour.
You confused the hour.
Oh. Sorry about that.
No worries.
That doesn't look like Agent Chance. This picture you have up must be someone else. Perhaps from... John's game, yes.
All right, so I'm going to listen for a few minutes as I catch up.
No worries. Okay, what are you guys doing? There's an engine coming.
Start pulling up the canoes up onto the island, see if I can try and conceal them.
Okay.
Yeah, whoever's best at that.
You can make a conceal roll if you want.
All right.
Conceal ride.
That's a 90.
It would be conceal because he's not hide as if you're trying to hide yourself. Conceal as if you're trying to hide something else.
I'm going to hide.
Okay.
I'm assuming they mentioned that they heard an engine, or are they just keeping it themselves?
No, I my character said that to everyone.
All right, I'm going to try to hide. Oh, miserable failure.
I will try to hide myself away from the others so that I'm not right next to them. Not to say I'll make it, but just in case.
I am a bush. You do not see me.
Didn't make it either.
As you are all... let's go ahead and get a hide roll from everyone.
Mr. Barker. Okay. Oh, success. 12.
And Agent Chance.
Okay. What are we rolling?
Hide.
Hide?
Okay. Hide.
Nope. 82.
Okay. Yeah, the this little island is pretty sparse. So yeah, and the other two soldiers look like they're having a difficult time as well. From up the fjord, you can now see there is a small boat that looks like it's coming up the fjord, not terribly fast, but it is, you know, blasting searchlights. It's very quickly. It's very clearly a patrol boat.
Pull out my Webley, just in case.
I'll pull out a grenade.
Can I get a no roll from Corporal Barker?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Maybe he knows the engine. That's a 96.
Okay. Looking good, looking good.
Keep it. Par for the course.
Probably just a local fisherman.
I look to the other soldiers and see what they were doing before I do anything stupid.
However, you all notice as well, Mr. Seraph has not moved. He's sitting right where he was.
My God, man, what are you doing? Hide yourself. The Jerrys were cooked.
Yeah, Stuffy. Yeah,
or are they not the Jerrys? And you know this and just didn't tell us because you're a dick.
He looks askance at Professor Everett and says, "Ah, can you not feel it, Professor? Yes, I believe there's a fog about to roll in."
Oh no! I roll Cthulhu Mythos to see if I know what I know as a player. No.
And as he says
I missed.
And as he says that, you know, there's like a pause, and then. The clear night suddenly starts to become a little foggy.
Oh, it was the most amazing thing. It was supposed to be looked so clear. Now the world is in Norway. Yes, fog. Yes.
And
I roll a cult to maybe figure out if that was related to what he said?
And within a couple minutes, the entire island is just ensconced in fog. And yes, you may make an occult roll.
Never mind. Miserable failure.
I missed the cold and Cthulhu Mythos.
He's just really good at predicting the weather.
I'm going to roll Cthulhu Mythos. Since I don't know what is going on, you will be good for me as well.
I got a chance. Fantastic.
Oh, it's a 12 out of 12.
Ooh.
You have heard of... you certainly wouldn't know what one looks like, or, you know, and it's not as if Mr. Seraph did anything... You know, it's not like there was a bunch of chanting or hand waving or anything like that, but you certainly have heard of spells that would allow someone to control the weather.
Okay. Okay.
Through the now quite thick fog, you can see the lights of the patrol boat move past, and you can hear the engine disappear into the distance as it continues down further into the fjord, and then not long after that, a light breeze blows up, and the fog drifts away, and suddenly it's a clear night with just some scattered high clouds again.
Well, the Admiral wasn't kidding when he said stay close to you, Sir Rod.
I have spent many years in the north. I am used to the erratic weather conditions. You get a feeling for them, how they come and go.
This guy doesn't have an overcoat and shades and a hat stuffed in his backpack like the previous character who was creepy that we ran into, does he? Just out of curiosity?
No, he does not.
Okay. So, well, I like things so well, and I'm still suspicious but confused. Isn't that right, Chance? Give him an elbow. Yes?
Thoroughly confused.
Yes, Chance, yes. I know. I pat him on the shoulder. There.
As the fog clears, you can see that the main fjord, you know, continues as it was going. But across from the island, there is a smaller fjord. And if you had a map, if you could see your map in the darkness,
I've got a map actually of the fjord, but so I know what you're talking about.
You would know that this is the Olderdalen fjord.
Okay.
And Mr. Seraph looks at Agent Chance and Corporal Barker, and says, "We must." This way, please.
Ah, but I notice he doesn't look at me.
All right. Let's go, Professor.
Well, of course, right. the real leader is here now. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, Stuffy.
The token leader. First to get in the car and run away when the Shoggoth comes.
Come on, Professor. Don't delay the party.
Yes, yes. I see you've got your wit back. How fortunate for you.
All right, boys, let's get going. And Barker will start getting everyone into the canoes again.
Okay. Once more into the breach and all that.
Yes. Let's get...
Hey, Chance, do you ever think of a net?
Just when I wrote my report.
All right, then.
As the you slip the canoes back into the water and start paddling down the Olderdalen Fjord, let's get another round of canoe rolls.
Ooh. All right, my odds are just getting better for this.
11 out of 21.
Actually, hang on there, Professor Everett. Agent Chance.
Oh. Yes, sir. I'm just too good. You have to roll now.
Well, let's see. Let's see how well he did.
I'm just too good.
There was a training course that you missed. Okay. That Randall missed. Agent Chance did not. You may have three new skills. The first is polar survival at 30%. 30.
30. Okay.
Yes. The second is Nordic skiing.
Okay.
And roll a d10.
9.
Times 4. Okay. And then the last is pilot canoe. Pilot boat canoe. And roll another d10.
5.
Times 3.
Okay.
So you and Professor Everett are in the same canoe, but only one of you needs to make a canoe roll. So I believe, Professor Everett, you already made, you're good?
I do believe I'm getting the hang of this canoeing thing. I just rolled a 06.
Well, that's good, because Peebsy rolled a 78 and failed again.
Cool.
I got a 23, so I really hope the professor pass.
No worries. So as you head up the fjord, just inside the mouth of the fjord, to your north. So the fjord is kind of headed, or this smaller fjord is kind of headed at a in a southeasterly direction. On the north side of the fjord, you can see the lights of a small village.
There's a big village ahead. Why don't we go there?
No, Professor, or no, Agent. No, no one can hear you except Professor Everett, unless you're going to yell across the ocean.
Well, I'll ask,
yell across to another canoe.
I'll ask Seraph, is this where we're going, Stuffy?
No, please, continue up the fjord.
All right. Just okay, keep on.
Out of character, Jim, does, what's his name, Seraph, does he sound that creepy, or is that just the way you're playing him?
No, he does sound a little creepy, yes.
Okay, because, yeah, he's coming across like somebody I don't want to be sharing a canoe with.
Nope, that's entirely intentional.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, he doesn't look particularly, abnormal. In fact, let me grab his description here.
I'm so glad I'm traveling with you, Professor. You may be ugly, but you are not creepy.
No, well, you're just jealous because all the women ignore you and come for me, even though I'm your senior.
It's the beard, Professor. Admit it. It's the chick magnet.
Yes, someday, Chance. I'm not the one getting love letters from Annette.
Good luck with that, Professor.
Mr. Seraph is definitely on the small size. He looks size 9. Very slight. He's kind of weak looking. He has very deep, dark eyes, long silver hair, and kind of a strange manner about him.
How old does he appear to be?
You really don't know. He could, if someone told you he was 30 years old, you would believe them. If someone told you he was 50 years old, you would believe them.
Huh.
Sort of like me.
Okay. He does seem a little on the boyish side, but something about him also seems, definitely older. He is clean shaven. Although he is in the winter camouflage that you are all in now, when you first met him, he was wearing a leather jacket, a scarf, and a watchman's cloak.
Would you say he has a puckish demeanor?
I would not know.
Okay.
But I would.
Someone might say that.
Okay, well, at least I'm not in the canoe with the creepy guy.
As you continue further up the fjord, Corporal Barker, make a spot hidden roll.
Alrighty.
Our lives depend on you making this roll.
Well, it's a good thing. Yeah, no. 74.
For all characters.
Mr. Seraph, who is probably in front, since you're the better canoeist, so you would be in back.
Supposedly.
Turns and leans back to you and says, we must stop, Corporal Barker. There is a shipping chain.
A shipping chain.
And as he says that, and presumably you do bring the canoe to a stop.
I will attempt to.
You can see, yes, there is a large, heavy chain stretched across the fjord.
Wow. Barker, where'd you stop him?
I say, there's a shipping chain, Chance.
Just above the surface of the water.
Calm yourself.
So we'll slow down.
Everyone stop. And say, Stuffy, what do you propose?
This should not be too difficult. We can simply cross it. So crossing it, It is a big, heavy chain, but you are, it's designed to stop something much larger than, a small canoe.
So, if we travel towards the edges of the fjord, would it, come up out of the water to where it's being supported, or does it just go straight across?
Yeah, it basically just goes straight across.
Okay.
You're gonna have to kind of, sneak your way under it, kind of pass the chain over the canoe, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So I need one person in each canoe to make a dex times 5 roll.
I'm assuming that I will be rolling for Barker and Stuffy.
PC's what's your dex, preferred. Randall?
13.
Okay, I need a
17. All right, I'm 12, so you should roll.
That's a success for me, sexist, Jim.
Okay. As sexist as it is, the gentleman in my canoe should lift the chain.
But we're in 1943, so it's not really sexist. Uh-huh. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I'm assuming he, as a gentleman, would attempt to lift it. It's the 40s and all.
He can roll for it if you want.
Sure.
Chance and Everett?
01.
Okay.
So the time on the asylum paid off.
Apparently. Okay, so you guys are able to slip under the chain. Corporal Barker, I believe you said you made it?
I did. I succeeded with a 53.
Okay. You're able to slip you and Mr. Seraph under the canoe, no problem. Your SBS soldier, Miss Rogers, is able to slip you guys under the chain with no problem.
Wonderful.
However, as the trailing SBS soldier, alone in his canoe, gets hung up on the chain.
Seriously, or did you just roll badly?
No, I just rolled badly.
Well, I'm thinking Peebs would probably be waiting until everyone goes through on the other side. So maybe he can try and attempt to help him.
Make a dex times 5 roll, and you can help him.
That's a success, 66.
Okay. Yeah, so it looked like he was, so you're right there, waiting, kind of helping as well. You can see that he was just about to drop the chain and probably swamp his canoe, but you were able to reach out and help things along.
Come on, buddy, what are you doing? Come on, get your head in the game.
Ah, sorry, Corporal,
All right, go.
So you all continue along, no problems. Of course not. fjord continues. As it continues, you can tell it narrows a great deal. It is still night. It is still quite dark. So you can't really see what the countryside looks like, but it does look fairly barren. It doesn't look like it's really heavily forested. Of course, it's the ground is of course covered in snow. Still. Let's get one more set of canoe rolls.
Ah, 81. Worst canoeist ever.
I failed by 1.34.
Professor Everett?
You want me to roll, or I thought
I failed. So you better roll and pass.
Okay, I'll roll again.
Or botch, either way.
13 out of 21. Gee, I wish I made some of my other rolls.
I'm not quite as good at this as I thought I was. I was getting cocksure.
but again, no one botched, so it's okay.
How pure it truly is.
So by now, dawn is, the sun isn't coming up, but you can definitely see the sky is starting to brighten over the fjord. Dawn is clearly not far away. Mr. Seraph leans back to Mr. Barker and indicates a point on the north side of the fjord and says, there, land us there.
Finally, Stuffy. Jeez, man. I feel like I've been rowing all night. And I'll direct everyone over to the landing he's indicating.
You have been rowing all night, Corporal.
Yeah. No, just kind of row his way over there. Or attempt to row his way over there.
Yep, no problem.
And, get everyone up onto the ground and start pulling up and putting away the canoes.
Okay, what are you going to do with them?
Arm them. Let's see. we can break them down. I guess could we bury them if there's any loose snow around, or if it's all ice, then I don't know.
No, it is. The snow is on its way out. Because it is early, late winter, early spring. So yeah, you can bury them.
Or how far is a tree line from where we are, or is there none?
There isn't really any. I mean, there, they're scattered trees, but no, thick forest.
Okay, well, I'll look for a good I guess, landmark tree or something like that, and maybe we could bury the boats for when we need to leave.
Okay. Are you just going to bury them and that'll be it? Or
Yeah, I think we'll bury them and then...
Or are you going to try and conceal where you're going to bury them?
I will attempt...
That's a hint!
I'll attempt to conceal them. Corporal Barker has been, batting 100 all night. Well, hey, ought 6, look at that.
Nice.
Concealed.
Concealed so well, you'll forget where they were.
Yeah, exactly. All right, boys. I got our canoes hidden away. Let's, what's next, Stuffy? You tell us, where are we going?
So at that point, Mr. Seraph, you know, kind of gathers all of you around. And hands each of you a large, about the size of your index finger, paperclip, and asks you to put it somewhere on your clothing.
A paperclip.
Yes, a paperclip.
What do we do with this?
I look at him quizzically. I ask him, are you expecting us to file on this mission?
No. Please just put it on. And he does the same. He takes out one for himself and just, you know, slips it, you know, basically just paper clips, you know, one part of his jacket.
I'll put it on a lapel, but looking at him as if he's lost his mind.
Peebs is just going to stick it right on his hat as soon as he gives it to him and just, you know, continue. Oh, by the way, everyone, I forgot a crucial piece of Peebs' description. He has a cigarette stuck on the side of his mouth. Constantly, but when he's in the field, you never see him smoke it.
You never see him smoking in the field?
Yeah.
He's just chewing on a cigarette.
Just got a cigarette permanently stuck in the side of his mouth.
Well, my profile picture pretty much sums up my character, so.
I wish I could see all of them. I'm stuck on the phone, so I can only see Jim and.
I've seen a Captain.
A third of a lady's face. Okay.
Yeah, Agent Carter from Cat. That's what I used for the picture. So
nice.
Yeah.
Shortly, just moments thereafter, a voice barks out something that I believe probably only Miss Rogers will understand.
Do I need to make?
Which is it?
German, Finnish, or Norwegian roll? Hit me.
Norwegian.
Finnish.
Oh, darn, I was hoping it was Latin.
Well, can us that have Norwegian attempt?
Yes.
To understand? Yeah. Yep, nope. Right. Just gibberish.
Wish me luck. 35, and I had to get a 26, so no. My Norwegian has failed me.
All right. Well, you're able to. I mean, you're able to get the gist of what he's saying. Yes. Yes. You can identify it as being Norwegian, but you can't quite make out what he's saying.
Get off my land.
And as you look further up from the beach, away from the fjord, you can see that standing in the snow are 5 gentlemen. Apparently dressed in civilian clothing, all of which are holding rifles and pointing them at you.
Can I attempt to converse in Norwegian with them?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't even need to roll for it.
Really? Okay. How about let's start with "Don't shoot. We mean you no harm." We don't have any obvious weapons, right, Jim? No one's got a MG42 slung over their shoulder, right?
No, I presume just about everyone does.
Yeah, I've got a submachine gun.
We all have weapons, I think.
Slung over my shoulder.
I have at least my handgun if they didn't give me some other stuff.
Nope.
Okay, we'll just go with don't shoot. We mean no harm.
Hey, tu veux pas je suis Canadien? Oh, wait, that's for Terrace.
Who are you? Okay, I'm not in command here, so I'll turn to... Who is Agent Chance actually in command?
Yes.
Okay, I'll turn to Agent Chance and say quickly out of the side of my mouth, they want to know who we are.
We
tell them we're Canadian.
I look to Surratt.
I roll my eyes.
Did you ask him in English, or...?
I'm asking you in English, yes.
No, I know you, but are they asking us in English?
No, they're asking in Norwegian.
Mm. Well, tell them that we are and wink at them.
You're welcome.
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
Tell them that we are friends.
We are friends. Jim, real quick, can we tell anything? You said they're in civilian clothes. Is there any chance maybe they're wearing something that would identify them as German sympathizers, maybe? Or
Would you all make spot hidden rolls, please?
Second time I missed. 82 out of 77.
And I failed as well with miserable an 87.
Did anyone make it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Agent Chance, you can just see in, you know, that as just the first rays of dawn are coming up over the horizon, you can just make out that all five of them, somewhere on their clothing, have a large paperclip.
Okay. So
I'll say to them in Norwegian, we're friends.
So that I'm going to take the paper and raise my hand. Show them your paperclips. We're friends.
Okay, I'll point to my paperclip on my lapel.
Yeah, I'll pull mine off my hat and hold it up.
We're friends in Norwegian. We're members of the Order of the Paperclip.
They all kind of lower their weapons, and he smiles, and then in English, "Ah, you must be the British that I was expecting."
Yes, we are. I'm so glad that we found you. These are my companions.
Sven Godmundsson.
Well, I'm Agent Chance, and I introduce everyone around.
Okay. He introduces his four companions as well.
Well, his name again?
Sven Godmundsson.
Sven Godmundsson.
And he's got four other guys with him?
Yes, he does.
Now, Jim, you said we had Seraph and
What was the last name, Jim?
Godmundsson.
Jim, you said we had Seraph and two other SBS people with us as well?
Correct.
So our party is... seven. Shit. Seven, thank you. My brain just shut down. Yep. So we got some red shirts. Excellent.
Sven says, come, we must get, there is a hut, there's a, small, hunter's hut we can go to that will, to shelter in, and, where we can talk. Please, come.
I guess we follow.
Yeah. Follow
yes,
along.
Yes, we do.
Say, are these our guys, Stuffy?
Yes, these are our contacts.
Oh, how I wish we were doing this after 1995 and I can make jokes about calling them Clippy.
So very creative, the paperclip. I can tell you that.
Yes, this is how we identify the resistance. I believe they do this in France also. Yes?
Well, the last time I was there, that was not still, you know, popular, but I hope it is now. So where are we going?
There's a hut, a hunter's hut we can shelter in from the, and will hide us from the Germans, and we can talk in some safety.
Okay, excellent. Okay, guys, let's follow.
It should only take us a couple hours to get there.
It's a long walk. How cold is it?
It is quite cold. In fact, it is cold enough that it starts snowing.
Why did I ask?
And the wind comes up, and the snow and the snow gets harder and harder. And you may all make a polar survival roll. See how well you have prepared for the...
I made that, but I still can't make my spot at 77.
You're starting to think the keeper is a sadist.
That's a 10.
Woo! I made it, literally. 31 out of 31.
Woo! And that's a fail for Peebsy. 76.
Hey, Peebsy, you got shown up by a girl.
He's totally okay with that.
Did anyone else fail besides Corporal Barker?
Nope.
No? Okay. Corporal Barker, roll me a D3.
All right, D3. And that's going to be a 3.
Okay. You may temporarily lose 3 points of dex. As you are having a heck of a time with the, you know, you probably, you know, didn't secure your jacket correctly or something. There's a breeze, you know, it's definitely getting to you. You can feel yourself getting really cold and just having trouble moving through the snow, and you're not feeling right.
You went for the light clear gloves, not the heavy gloves.
He will complain noisily the entire continuance of the trip.
Professor, why don't you share with Peeps some of that vodka you're hiding under your coat?
What are you talking about? I don't even drink vodka. You know I like the good stuff. And then I pull out some vodka a moment later. I suppose I can give him this. It's not too cool.
So it takes a couple hours, but you eventually arrive at a small hut kind of in a valley. Sven ushers everyone inside. One of the other resistance guys starts a fire. They pull out, you know, some very clearly some kind of homemade brewed something that they pass around to all of you.
Okay. I drink.
Yes, I will gladly take some refreshment.
I'll take a small nip.
I'll have some.
Okay. It's strong and local and an acquired taste.
Sort of like grappa, basically.
And after after a little bit of just kind of relaxing after the trudge through the snow, Mr. Seraf looks at Sven and says, "So Sven, can you tell us your story, please?" And Sven says, "Certainly. Yes, it's the village Trollborg. Do you know it?" He looks around at all of you. Probably not.
No.
Is that like a troll of some sort?
Like a what?
A troll.
Ah, yes. Yeah, it is in troll country, yes.
Well, then I suppose I know a little about it.
Oh, well, it's a very tiny village. It's just on the Finnish side of the border, you know, but we Norwegians use it as a shelter for raids against the Germans and that sort of thing, being just across the border. The Germans won't cross into Finland quite yet. Until they did. I don't understand why. There's not really anything there. There's just the village and some Viking ruins.
My ears perk up at the mention of Viking ruins.
As
Sven, you know, mentions Trollborg, you can see the other four resistance fighters, you know, kind of shake their heads. They look downcast. One or two of them, you know, cross themselves, that sort of thing.
Like ashamed or worried?
Like worried, concerned, upset.
Okay.
My brother Olaf, he has a woman called Malia in the village, and Olaf and Malia were there. This was a little over a month ago now when a company of SS soldiers appeared in the village. They brought with them vehicles. There was heavy equipment and a detachment of forced labor workers. They didn't trouble the villagers, you understand? They just kind of threatened them to stay away and built an armed camp just on the north side of the village. Olaf said that once the camp was done, They would start making expeditions onto the mountain just outside Trollborg. Odin's Njarkin, how do you say in Odin's Fist? And
Jim, would that mean anything to my character?
You would certainly be familiar with the name Odin, yes.
Well, I meant the mountain, obviously. Oh. Odin.
That mountain specifically? No, probably not.
Odin's Fist?
Odin's Fist, yes.
I was wondering if there was a role that might cover that, like history or something.
Yeah, go ahead and make a history roll.
40%. All of us or just her?
Just her.
Never mind. 94 and you did a 40. Oh, yeah, that mountain.
Finland. I think I've heard of that.
Geography? No.
Odin's Snout. Yes, I'm familiar with Odin's Snout. I went skiing there as a child.
So when the Germans finish their camp and would start making expeditions onto the mountains, and Olaf said that once they did, the mountain, there were all sorts of strange noises and mists and lights and strange, who knows what's happening on the mountain. And the Olaf reported this to me by his radio. Of course, you know, hidden radio we have. He said that there, in addition to the SS, there was another group, not SS, but the Germans called them the Black Sun. And there was.
Have I heard of this group? Section D.
Make a no roll, Agent Chance, and Professor Everett.
Okay.
I pass. 35.
I also passed.
Yes, you have. You are familiar with you. You know that the Black Sun is a special group of Nazis that are searching the world on behalf of Hitler for ancient occult artifacts.
Okay.
Olaf said that their leader was a strange man, a small fellow, one-eyed. With the eye patch. This strange, frightening sort of guy. Unfortunately, that's all I know. You see, just 2 days ago, I have not heard from Olaf for the past 2 days. There is nothing but static now. Becoming concerned.
Now, Jim, do I get the feeling that the Nazis are after the troll? Or that they brought the troll with them.
Nobody said anything about a troll.
I think you're trolling for such.
Just Everett said that. He walked right into his trap.
You got trolled.
Confuse me, Professor.
Oh, take a chance on life, Chance. I love making that pun.
Well, that's a good reason for us to hurry and go and try to find your cousin, Olaf.
Would everyone make a spot hidden roll?
Hallelujah, I finally made it.
Woohoo, made it.
19.
Oh my gosh. I made it as well. 25.
Your reward for making a spot hidden roll is the ability to make a psychology roll.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
oh.
Happy day. Oh,
9 out of 5.
Didn't yeah, work. that was completely wasted.
Hey, I got to check it off.
19 out of 5.
Yeehaw.
Wasting all these good rolls.
But I believe I heard Agent Chance made his psychology roll.
Yes, I did.
I've
got 60.
Yes, mm-hmm. During Sven's story, you can tell by his reactions, which are not, you know, big obvious reactions. Mr. Seraph clearly recognizes this strange, unusual man who's the leader that Sven was describing, the leader of the Black Sun. He clearly recognized who that was.
Okay. What is his name again? Of the name of the NPC?
Seraph. S-E-R-A-P-H. Seraph.
Yeah. Okay. I will keep it for myself for now.
Fair deal.
So, are you coming with us and try to find your cousin, or are you going to show us the way and come back?
No, I will go with you. I will go with you. My men here will stay behind, but yes, I will go with you.
Okay, yeah, we are a small group. With you, we are only 8, so if we are going to face the Germans, it will be good to have at least a couple of them more.
He kind of raises an eyebrow. Well, shouldn't this be something of a secret mission? I wouldn't think you would... Shouldn't the point be to not face the Germans?
Well, that's always what we plan, but we need to be prepared for the unexpected. But well, that's okay. If you don't want to risk the lives of your men, I completely understand. And I guess we should be good to go as soon as we get some rest and you are ready.
We should stay here. I think we can stay here tonight. He kind of looks over at Corporal Barker, who's still shivering, and looks like he wishes someone would give him some medical attention.
Isn't there a fire?
Yes.
There is. Well, Corporal Barker should get his butt near the fire.
I could try and first aid myself.
You're missing some dexterity points, you think?
Nope. Fail. 52.
So cold.
Yeah, as soon as he heard them mention sleep, he just starts to go to sleep and bundle up and pass out.
Fair deal.
I'll kind of move Corporal Barker near the fire.
Just huddled in the fetal position while he's getting pushed towards the fire. Oh, thank you.
So, yes, we can...
All right.
I believe we're safe enough here for the night, and we can continue tomorrow.
Okay. So, we'll get some rest and get ready for the trip tomorrow.
Okay. The night passes. Daybreak dawns. Pretty much right at daybreak, the other 4 resistance men set off, headed back north. And Sven looks you over and says, whenever you're ready.
Okay, guys.
Well,
hey.
Do we have tea in our rations? Can we have a little breakfast?
Yes.
Okay. I make tea.
I wouldn't be opposed if any of you wanted to help me with this this cold I'm still feeling.
Hey, Barker, let me see what we can do for you. And
I give Peebs a cup of hot tea.
Let me see if I can pass my first aid. Oh, no, I didn't. I spilled some water on his chest. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
Drink this, Corporal Peebs. It won't kill you. It might actually make you feel better.
That's going to get cold pretty soon.
Ah, Agent Chance. Gosh. Just drink some hot tea and... I Agent Chance with some daggers.
Always making friends.
That'll be Agent Chance's tombstone. Always making friends.
All right, guys. So let's get ready and let's get moving.
Okay. Sven and the other resistance men did bring everyone skis.
Oh boy! We get to roll ski!
Yeehaw!
You betcha.
Okay. Oh god.
Wow. No. That Peebs is actually good at something. He succeeds with a 22 out of 29.
I rolled a 97. I rolled a 97 out of 32. Is that a botch?
Miss Rogers, roll a d3.
Okay. 3.
Okay, you can have 3 points of damage as you fall and hit something on a rock as you're
trying. Do I have a yard sale? Ski. That's where all your stuff goes everywhere.
I didn't pass, but I failed only by 6.
Okay, that's fine. As long as you didn't botch, you didn't. Yeah.
Okay.
Agent Rogers begins to pick up all her junk that just went everywhere. Grenades, gun, paperclip. Right, this looks so much easier in practice.
So the terrain that you're skiing over is largely open. You know, there are some scattered rock mounds and some scattered...
Which I find.
Exactly. And some scattered groves of trees, but largely this is just open tundra. Listen rolls.
Success again, 22.
Eat it again.
You hear what is very clearly the sound of a
success.
An aircraft engine.
Ooh, can I get another no roll?
Sure.
Success, 20.
It's German.
Gasp.
I say, it's the Japanese. Everybody hide.
Hide, hurry.
I run for a tree and dive under it.
I would expect that, you know, if there's snow and everything, our coats are white.
That's true.
Does that give us a bonus to hide, Jim?
Can I get some idea rolls?
Okay. Made it.
Whoa! Made it. Fail with a 99.
Your head explodes.
That's a pass.
As everyone starts diving for cover, and yes, your camouflage jackets that you're wearing are white, so... You know, that's not a problem. We'll get to hide rolls in a second. Professor Everett and Agent Chance look around behind them and realize that they have been skiing for hours.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, crap. Oh, no, the trail.
Well, hopefully the plane isn't flying too low. Yes.
We're leaving a huge trail behind us.
Perhaps we should just play it cool and wave to them.
You can hear the sound of the aircraft engine getting closer.
Well, what do you think, Surratt?
Spread out. If they kill someone, at least they're not going to kill all of us.
What's your opinion on this, Surratt?
I leave this up to you, gentlemen.
Oh, that's fine. Just fine. All right, I guess we spread out and see what happens. Take cover behind a tree.
And Jim, how low is it flying?
It doesn't sound at the moment like it's flying too terribly low.
Oh, fog will do us just fine now.
As you look around the clear, bright, cloudless sky.
I say that towards Seraph.
Let's get hide rolls.
Nope.
90.
25. 17 out of a 10.
25, but I'm not sure if he has it. Let me check. No, I got a 17.
Okay, fair enough. So you all, you know, kind of scamper down, try to hide under a rock or just lay in the snow or do something. You see and hear Corporal Barker recognizes as some kind of German reconnaissance plane fly over at a pretty good altitude. However, a moment later, you can hear the pitch of the engine change as you see the aircraft turn and dive lower, very clearly intending to pass lower over your position.
Now they're going to shoot us.
I say,
stop panicking, Chance.
If they're coming by, depending on how low they fly, why don't we just all chuck some grenades at them and see if we can't take this bird out of the air?
Oh, yeah, that kid. Does anyone have a rifle?
I'm very good with grenades.
Did anyone pack a rifle?
Who are we? We have machine guns. Don't we, Jim?
We have...
You have whatever you had before, Agent Chance.
I have a freaking pistol and some grenades.
I have a submachine gun that I could use, But I think if we all threw grenades, that would be pretty badass.
Well, I have a Thompson. Yeah, I have a Thompson. I'm gonna, if it gets close enough and starts shooting at us, I'm gonna use it.
What's the range for throwing a grenade, though? Is that like 20 feet? Because like every range increment's halved.
And what's the range for throwing one straight up in the air?
Yeah,
it's called catch.
You have a better chance of hitting with your machine guns, assuming it comes that low, which I doubt it will.
Yeah. You see the plane come low, but not nearly low enough for you to shoot. Fly directly over the area where you are all hiding. And you know, after it passes over you, it kind of climbs back up into the air again, and flies back along your ski tracks. Flies back to the north.
Oh.
I believe we have been spotted.
Do we have a radio?
You do not.
Oh no, the resistance is doomed.
Tell yourself to get a chance.
We better get stepping then, gentlemen.
Yes, I agree. We've clearly been spotted. We need to get out of here.
We'll just start heading out, following Sven.
Sven sets off again.
If we can find something to cover our tracks, you know, as we're skiing.
There's a...
Like trees, cut something from a tree and put it in the back of the skis so the marks are not going to be that obvious again.
Yeah, to like sweep away the traces of the ski tracks from the back people.
Right.
I could try and jury rig something.
Yeah, that wouldn't affect your skiing percentage chance at all, right?
we should come to a small forest pretty quickly. Come on, let's get out of here.
Lead the way, Sven.
Yeah.
He does, and after about another half an hour of skiing, it's getting, you know, midday now. You come to a small wooded area, which Sven, you know, enters and starts skiing through.
Did the other four Norwegians come with us, or just Sven?
Just Sven.
Okay. So we're in the woods.
You're in the woods.
So it's up to you, Chansey. Let's just keep following him.
Yeah, for sure. He seems to know what he's doing, so we need to follow him.
Can I get listen rolls all the way around again?
Hot 8 out of 45.
Oh, 0-4.
Oh, nice.
That's a 10
fail with out of 25. All right.
Fail with a 50.
As you're moving through the forest, skiing through the forest...
You hear panzers.
You hear the sound, what sounds like branches breaking. Large branches being broken.
I stop.
My joke is suddenly not that funny anymore.
Do we hear anything else, or just
from
the branches being broken?
What
broken?
Direction?
Mm-hmm. From kind of off to the side of the, you know, not coming from directly in front of you or behind you, but off to one side.
Well, I'm going to try to spot something, you know, in the distance, see if I see anything there.
The trees here are kind of thick, but you're welcome to make a spot hidden roll. Trees in the undergrowth.
Peeps. That's the best.
You kind of get the idea that you can. There might be something moving. Something big.
I hope I have binoculars.
We all have binoculars. Yeah, equipment-wise.
So.
Sven leans back and whispers, "I was not joking about this being troll country."
Yes, I believe you.
And
that's why
Peeves will pull out his submachine gun.
I'll start backing up behind the others.
I'll pull my pistol out.
Okay, guys, let's move out. Let's not be in front of each other. Let's try to face whatever is coming that way so we don't shoot each other.
Plenty of time for that later.
Yeah.
What level of class did Agent Chance graduate from?
It was inherited. Inherited station.
It was called Chance University.
The U.S. Army took a chance on him.
Actually, I think it's his comrades who take a chance every time they go out with him.
You're going to find out.
Well,
actually, being assigned Agent Chance is punishment.
Well, actually, Chance doesn't have any formal military career or anything like that. He was just pulled out from the university, so.
That's true. He was a civilian operative. Just like Miss Rogers. A few years, Miss Rogers. This is what happens.
And Everett, they just begged him to come, and finally he relented.
So we're standing in a scattered line waiting for whatever's in the trees to come get us.
Sven kind of looks around and says, yes, a big troll, I think. It's coming this way.
I lean over to Sven and ask in Norwegian, is troll another word for tank?
No, you know troll, yes? A large, hairy, big teeth.
Okay, psychology. I want to figure out if this guy really believes he's talking about... Because I know what trolls are. Agent Rogers would know.
I think he means a bear.
No. 57 out of 25. He's dead serious.
Yep. This is where they... It is unusual, though. They are not usually active in the daylight. Perhaps we have angered it somehow.
Okay, troll or panzer, Sven, why are we standing here waiting for it? Why shouldn't we be moving?
Yes, can we go around it?
Just as she says that, a large brown bear lumbers out of the huge scrub.
Yeah, if we can get away, we will get away.
It's a bear. See? Nothing to be afraid of.
Stops.
Come up and Professor.
Watch your tongue.
The bear kind of just looks at you quizzically, turns and heads off in a different direction. And I think that's where we'll end it for the night.
Don't move.
Yeah, we're just pissing our pants in the snow.
Okay, we'll wait until the
cliffhanger.
As soon as Jim, the bear is gone, we'll...
I got to tell you, I have a friend of mine who tells the story. She went hiking in the woods one time. That she came on a note somebody tacked to a tree with a knife. And the note read, there are bears in these woods. There's one looking at me right now.
Nice.
Yeah, so having that moment right now. So, brown bear.
Yep, so that's where we'll call it for tonight.
All right.
I think this is as good a place to... To end as any.
Okay, cool, so gentlemen. 2 weeks.
Okay. 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks.
Okay, I will listen to the...
Catch up on what you missed.
Okay. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and figure out what are we doing here. Right, guys.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Have a good night.
Right. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.